interesting statistics in those first two presentations. I'm a little nervous about introducing what people are going to be talking about. Seems that some are changing their subjects. So I'll just say that Zinya Schell-Edlung is the health policy coordinator with the International Labour Organization in Switzerland. And I don't know if you're sticking to what is in the program. You are. Excellent. So please welcome.
Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. I would like to focus my presentation on raising the global social protection floor. There will be other floors following, I understand. So for me, it's the social protection floor. And this is a new concept which was developed by the United Nations as a response to the financial and economic crisis. And it is endorsed by the whole UN family. In fact, in January it was endorsed, but the lead organizations are ILO, the International Labour Organization, and the World Health Organization. So how do I get this? Ah, it was the green one. Yeah, okay, thank you. So how does this work? Okay, just one word on the International Labour Organization. As you know, it is the UN organization that is focusing on the world of work, and we are particularly aiming at achieving decent and productive working conditions. And this is for both for people working in the formal and in the informal economy. And as you know, in some countries, the informal economy is about 80% of the workforce. And our work is anchored in human rights, such as values such as equity, social justice, security, as we discussed this all these days. And we are particularly focusing on what we call social dialogue. That means involvement of stakeholders, particularly workers and employers, in order to achieve sustainable social and financial and economic results. So I would like to focus my presentation on four key questions. The first one is, what are the living and working conditions after the economic crisis? The second one is to revisit the divide between social and economic policies. Thirdly, I would like to introduce the new concept of the social protection floor as a new policy paradigm. And then finally discuss the basic social security floor or social protection floor from the viewpoint of the fiscal affordability. Let me start with a few figures to outline the situation, the living and working conditions, in fact, in post-economic crisis environments as we find them today. Many countries have now entered into a recession or an economic slowdown after we experienced the worst economic crisis since economic history, modern economic history, of course. Impacts of the crisis for the banking sector were solved, at least in richer countries. However, most affected are poor countries, and in poor countries, of course, the most vulnerable persons, particularly through loss of income and higher prices, last not least for health care. Similar to prior crises, such as the food and the oil prices, ILO expects higher levels of poverty and unemployment, and that will significantly increase over the next year. ILO estimates particularly that the number of the unemployed will rise by 20 million people globally. The number of the working poor living beyond $1 a day will globally rise by 40 million, and those below $2 a day will be more than 100 people. And this will be worsened by the growing gap in social protection due to gaps in public budgets and gaps or deficits or smaller international aid. And if no action is taken, there is no doubt that there will be severe impacts on the health status of the global population and increased mortality rates, particularly child and maternal mortality, and we expect that this will rise by 400,000 women due to the reduced availability and accessibility of health services. So this is the situation as we see this for 2010. How does the current situation look like? Currently, countries with the highest level of poverty spend least on public health. In fact, the higher the poverty level in a country, the less public funds are available for health. And this is illustrated in this graph, which shows the amount of public health expenditure in countries grouped by percentage of people living with less than $2 a day. In countries where more than 75% of the population live beyond $2 a day, public funding for health amounts on average to less than $23 per capita, and this is not even enough to pay for the most basic health care package that is estimated by WHO at $54. And what we see here is the situation prior to the crisis in some 30 countries, including Bangladesh and Burkina Faso. Social protection mechanisms such as social assistance, such as social insurance or microinsurance or conditional cash transfers or vouchers or many other possibilities are designed to ease the financial burden and particularly to provide access to health care and lower poverty through mechanisms such as risk pooling. However, in countries that are most concerned, we find usually the highest deficits in social protection coverage, as we see on this slide. The graph on the left side shows the outreach of social protection programs, and that means national health services, health insurances, pension schemes, and so forth. Schemes that have the potential to reduce and prevent poverty, to provide access to health services, and to cushion social hardships. The countries in dark blue have only limited or no coverage of such schemes. And these are the countries with the highest poverty levels, as you can see on the right side graph, where they are colored in red and dark red. So why is social protection underutilized or even absent where it is most needed? Among the reasons are several myths on economic and social policies that led policymakers to strategies providing only short-term, means-tested, low-cost benefits for the poor, assuming that economic growth will automatically reduce poverty. However, this did not happen. Poverty was only reduced in countries which had redistributive mechanisms, such as social insurance or national health systems. And this is also the case in OECD countries, where social transfers reduced poverty over the last years by 50%. Countries with the most extensive social protection schemes in the European Union, for example, experienced annual growth rates of more than 3% over the last years. And these countries spent on average 13% of their GDP on social protection. And thanks to this, they rank highest in terms of wealth and benefits from social peace. And it is difficult to see here a trade-off between social expenditure and economic growth. But this is exactly what is referred to when providing advice to developing countries. Another myth on social and economic policies relates to affordability of social protection schemes, particularly in developing countries. In this context, it might be useful to consider the costs of ill health for these countries. ILO has estimated the economic costs of HIV/AIDS and it points towards an annual decrease of the GDP of 0.2% in countries that are most concerned. And therefore, I think the question is not anymore if developing countries can afford health protection, it is rather if they can afford not to afford it. Against this background, it seems to be imperative to revise policies and reverse the impact of the economic crisis before it becomes a human crisis, and to address the needs of the people that are most at risk, to preserve particularly the hard-won gains in poverty reduction and health status. Building sustainable social protection systems that serve the vulnerable might turn out to be the key in this context. This is the strong message that the United Nations family has sent to the world and which ILO and WHO are leading in the context of the global social protection floor. The social protection floor aims at achieving universal coverage and access to health services, which is based on solidarity, and solidarity concretely translates into sharing financial burden, and addresses both health and poverty from a holistic viewpoint. The social protection floor consists of essential public and social transfers, both in cash and in kind, and this includes access to essential health services, and of course, basic income for specific groups such as the elderly, for persons with disabilities, and children, as well as public employment in specific conditions. And income security is connected to this for the unemployment. And we advise that related policies should be closely linked in order to create synergies and to reach out. Let me be a little bit more specific with social health protection. It should not only aim at providing legal coverage, as we find it in many countries, but it should allow people to access effectively quality health services that are both available and affordable. And in addition, financial protection should be provided. Benefit packages should include comprehensive primary care services and be in line with ILO conventions that outline more specifically what is meant. Of course, a key objective to be addressed in benefit packages is Millennium Development Goals. The health protection layer of the social floor should be provided through classical and through innovative schemes such as tax-funded systems, but also what we discussed earlier this morning and yesterday, micro-insurance schemes or other schemes that aim at providing access to services and income. And all these schemes should be coordinated in a way to achieve universal coverage. And this is particularly new because in the past, some international institutions advised particularly on just focusing on one out of many financing mechanisms. But this takes a lot of time, as we know from our countries. It took in Europe, in some countries, more than 100 years to achieve universal coverage. And this time, we do not want to wait for the poor in developing countries. Therefore, we advise to coordinate all existing schemes in countries. And we also advise to involve in decision-making not only governments, but business and the people, the workers. And this is particularly important in order to achieve sustainability. Advancing and sustaining reform processes is only possible if we have a broad participation of what we call employers and workers, and since they will have to pay for the services and they need to comply with its regulations, it is important to involve them in decision-making. involving of other key stakeholders such as the health workforce or doctors' associations or social security institutions is of course also important in order to create responsiveness and to provide for quality in the delivery of services. What would be the effect of the social floor benefit package on poverty? Here you see ILO estimations on the effect of the basic benefit package on the poverty headcount in Tanzania. The graph shows the results using both the food poverty line and the basic needs poverty line. In both cases, providing for health, old age, and basic income for children reduces the poverty incidence between one-third and a half. Healthcare alone would impact on poverty reduction by 5% points. What would be the basic benefit package of the social floor in terms of costs? Would it be affordable? This graph illustrates the share of GDP required to provide a basic social protection package by country. Healthcare, which is here in yellow, would be the most expensive component and would account in low-income countries such as Asia for about 1.7% of GDP, whereas the least developed countries such as Burkina Faso would need to spend 5% of GDP for it. The other components would be much cheaper and around 1% of GDP. How could the social floor be financed? There are two main strategies on which we could build, and this is risk pooling and burden sharing among the population. First of all, there is a significant scope in domestic resource mobilization given the inefficiencies in tax collection and tax systems and waste. Domestic resources can also be increased by using insurance schemes financed by employers and workers. Of course, international aid will be necessary. Let me briefly conclude. Addressing poverty and health is one of the highest and biggest challenges facing the world's nations at the beginning of the 21st century. We in ILO believe that based on in-depth analysis, it is possible to achieve universal coverage, and even in resource-poor settings, it is possible that such schemes be implemented. Far from being an unaffordable luxury, we think it is a fundamental driver of growth. The global social protection floor can significantly reduce poverty and improve access to quality health services. It requires, however, focusing on more efficiency in generating and using resources. Thank you.